welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire existence of cells themselves. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire universe, galaxy, world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It is a beautiful night for a podcast. And the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Show is. So you see those? You see those memes where it's like, let's talk about taxes. And it's like,
no, no.
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. Goodness.
And Pythagorean theorem.
Sokotoa.
Sokotoa, indeed.
Sokotoa D's nuts, you know what I mean?
Okay. It's not even a full minute.
I'm funny. Although, you know who's not funny? Anywhere from 9 to 12 years ago, Carmen, on Facebook.
Oh God,
Facebook memories. Nothing. I just, every time I look, you know what? Let's actually do this. Let me look right now. I haven't looked today. Let's do this. Let's do this raw, unscripted, live. Let's look at memories from, let's go to the farthest back memory that I have. Let's see what we have here. Totally no context. Okay, here we go. I've not looked at this. 15 years ago on this day, September 17th, 2010. Oh, okay. It's just a Blink-182 quote.
Oh, well, so creative.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. It was the line in Dumpweed. She's a dove. She's a fucking nightmare. Unpredictable. My mistake to stay here. Blah, blah, blah. and one person liked it. What a fucking joke. All right. September 17th, 2011. This is a better one. On break at work, ... Sorry, with no O, Surrey, this was a pointless status, ...
You're not sorry at all.
That was 14 years ago, Carmen. What were you thinking? I'm deleting this.
September 17th, 2008. Kelsey Werner has a lot to do. Some things never change, bitches.
That's so funny. On this day, 14 years ago, same day I posted that stupid status, I made a location for the house I was renting with two other friends, and I called it the Bro Pad. So I created the location, and then I checked into it, and the status was checked into the Bro Pad. The title was Being Bro Status.
You're so stupid.
I hate... No one hates me more than me.
Look at... in 2012, I wrote, there is a very good possibility the wet socks are the most terrible thing in the entire world. And let me tell you, there are way more terrible things. I wish wet socks were the most terrible thing in the entire world.
Oh, you said wet socks. I thought you said white socks. And I was like, dang. Unhinged on my favorite team.
I don't give a shit about baseball. But 14 years ago, I'm getting on Facebook to wail on your team specifically.
So distraught.
For this moment.
That's, man, what great foresight you have.
I know.
That's so funny. This was fun. You have any other ones to close us off of this segment?
No, I don't.
Of living in past land?
The other thing is, like, 4 years ago, I was at HHN.
Well, 7 years ago, I was posting a lot of stuff about getting married, so.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
You did do that. I was there.
I don't know if you have any shout outs, but we've got some reviews. Two good, one questionable. Very confused on one of them. Very excited to share this. But it is worth noting that we have reached over 100 ratings on Apple Podcasts. So an incredible milestone. This 5-star review is from Jim 888, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 M's. Wow, that's hilarious. Jim with 8 M's and then the number 888.
Like Jimothy or Jim like I'm at the gym?
J-I-M-M-M-M-M. Yeah. The title is How Did It Take So Long? All caps, ! 5 stars. I wish I found this podcast sooner in my Grey's journey. Yes, Jim 888. We wish you did too. Then there is one 5-star review titled Listen to Them Now, and the now is capitalized, written by the coolest Emma Champ. Good for you, Emma.
Happy you, Emma.
I can't recommend this show enough. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your pets. Aw, yeah, tell your pets. And this one, Gray's World.
You can read it, and then I'll respond.
Okay, and then I have some thoughts for our listeners out here. We need to unite, and I have a theory. This the name of this person is all lowercase, no spaces. What is she hiding? It's a 4-star review. I love this show with one caveat, dot, dot, dot. Does the female host always... Does the female host always have a cold? Please go to an ENT. Not great to be sniffling into the mic every single episode.
Let me tell you some things. What is she hiding? First of all, I have been pregnant for a large amount of time that we have been doing this show. And pregnant people are canonically congested. Secondly, what I do have is asthma. And I will not apologize for my inability to breathe correctly. Thirdly, what I do have is a fucking name. And it's not the female host.
I have two theories.
If you have not listened enough to know my name, then yeah, when you are listening is the beginning when I was pregnant. So I probably was sniffling all the time because I was pregnantly congested. And I won't apologize for it because I was growing a human being. Also, pay for my ENT.
You've grown 2 children in the course of this podcast.
I know.
That is crazy. So I have 2 theories. Number one is because they don't even know your name, it's a competing Gray's podcast. And we're like Sabotage. Gangs of New York style, like wrestling each other in the streets, snapping our fingers. Mm-hmm. And these people want to take us down. And they're doing it anonymously under the name, What Is She Hiding? That's theory number one. Theory number two, because we saw Kitten Peanut Jones remove her or their review.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is Kitten Peanut Jones trying to get back at us. It's the rebranding. And this is Kitten Peanut Jones alluding to the fact that they think that we are having some sort of extramarital affair out of state from each other.
And that's why I'm not going to the ENT.
And that's why she's not going to the ENT.
Sniffling and having Carmen's affairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of affairs, I don't want to give it too much airtime, but if you know me, you know I'm a Try Guys fan. So if anybody wants to chat about the Try Guys lore that dropped this week, hit me up because I have some feelings. So if you'll recall, 3 years ago, there was a scandal in the workplace. And one of the Try Guys, who was big brand, was, I'm a wife guy, I love my wife, I love my family, blah, blah, was in fact sleeping with a subordinate at the company.
I do remember this. Broke. Yes.
And then he fell off the face of the earth for 3 years, as he should have. And then this week popped back up to do a podcast. So
with the Try Guys?
No.
Oh, okay.
on his own individually. So if anyone wants to chat about that, I have a lot of feelings. And also, I have a lot of things to say that are irrelevant to Grace, and I apologize.
Don't apologize. What is she hiding?
What is she hiding?
You keep your secrets.
If you are on a corner of the internet that tells you that SSRIs are bad and are the devil and are addictive, I would love to talk to you because I don't love that thought as someone who takes them. And I ran out of them this week, and it's taking long to refill. And it's been unpleasant. So if you would like the perspective of someone who has been taking them for a while, I would love to chat with you about that too.
I don't know what SSRIs are.
It's like anxiety and depression medication.
Oh,
basically.
Yeah, no, that's important.
Like Zoloft, Lexapro, that kind of stuff. So.
Well.
If someone on your internet is telling you those things are bad and don't do anything for people, I would love to chat with you because I'm not in the mood. Because I'm off my SSRI.
That's funny. And also, obviously, I know that this is funny because we got a review about Kelsey having the sniffles. I'm sick, so I'm going to be coughing a lot. Right? I'm going to do my
Carmen
best.
Carmen does have the sniffles.
I need to see a fucking ENT, dude.
So true.
Before we fully jump in, let me also say, as you all may have heard last week, we recently had the opportunity to work with our good friends over at Shure. Want to make sure that we were thanking them again for the equipment that they gave us. I had the opportunity to use these in-ear monitors at a new church that I played at last week. And let me just tell you, these things slap.
Yay. I'm
fairly certain to find the box here. These are the Shure SE215s. And really big fan. Really big fan. So just had to shout that out. So they've gotten some practical use outside of the podcast. So
amazing. And our microphones are pretty.
Yeah. I still haven't figured out how to get the USB thing working, but I think it sounds fine, you know?
It does.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Grays. I will also tell you all that I recorded myself watching this video, so there's gonna be a video coming out
soon.
I did.
Oh, I'm so happy because
it was really stressful to get it done.
The end of it, I was like, I'm so sad I didn't tell Carmen to watch this.
No, you did. You did. You asked me to.
Okay. Well, I had asked you to watch like the next three, but I wasn't sure if that had become something that was feasible and like you were able to execute.
I don't think I realized that you wanted the next three. I for sure did this one. I can't promise the next two. But this was fun. This was a fun one. It was my schedule.
This is a stressful one.
Is so packed right now that getting the time to do this was a bit challenging.
Because you were too busy hunting down Pokemon cards.
I was No. In fact, I did not get any new Pokemon cards this week.
Have posted twice this week. Pokemon cards.
No. Listen, I buy them and then I hold them and I ration them. I don't buy them and immediately open them. That's child's play.
When did you buy that giant box of them?
2 weeks ago.
But you have opened them. So
I've opened one of them. I have another one.
You've seen new ones come to you.
Yes. So, and also shout out to our good friends, Mark and Leah, because I used their Sam's Club account to buy them.
Incredible.
Because I have a problem. Also, shout out to Brianna, who sent me a message, and she's like, hey, I see this Pokemon card vending machine. Is this worth anything? And I'm like, check it out. If you ever see a card there, just let me know and buy it, and I will pay to ship it. And also, shout out to my old friend Megan, who I used to work with at Disney. She was in Japan with her boyfriend, and she sent me 3 packs home from the motherland. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, I actually opened them with Marlo. I didn't get anything out of it, but it was just fun opening Japanese cards. It's just kind of cool.
Straight from the source.
Straight from the Pokemon headquarters, the birthplace.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I was really trying to think of something clever and nothing, literally nothing came out. Also, I have one more box here that I think I'm going to open in between our episodes. So,
okay, delightful.
Or maybe while, if you're really boring me with this conversation, I might just start opening packs here.
That's fine. Okay, so let's talk about it. This is the 17th episode of the 9th season. It is the 189th episode overall. It is called Transplant Wasteland, and that is a song.
Transplants.
Carmen's
Transplant Wasteland is a song. Gotta tell you, this song, I don't know. I don't want to be really disrespectful, okay? I'm going to give, I have to give you the rating on this first. Both objectively and subjectively, this song gets a -3.
Wow. I thought maybe, well, I saw it and I was like, that's a weird picture. So I clicked on it to see when it came out and it said 90s prog rock. And I was like, maybe he'll like it.
It was from,
I almost listened to it because I was so intrigued by the artwork on the album cover.
It's over 8 minutes long.
Oh.
And it's an instrumental. Oh, and it's like a jam. It's a jam session. It's like not even like really anything specific. It's a lot of like guitar feedback. It sounds like it was recorded in an open garage with no soundproofing. But
loved it.
Let's talk about still not the worst song that I've listened to in all of Grey's. That one song is a negative at least 5.
That was so bad. That song.
This one, honestly though, almost I couldn't even listen to the whole. I didn't listen to all 8 minutes of it. I skipped around a bit.
8 minutes is absurd.
Yeah, I can give a song 3 minutes. You ask for 8 minutes, that's a whole album. So nothing came up for the song, but the album, The Last Wave, is the debut album of an American jazz fusion band called Arcana. Now, this album was released on July 23rd, 1996, and it is mostly an album of improvisation, but it's a trio of guitar, bass, and drummers. So what leads me to believe is this is all instrumental. So good for you, whatever. There's no charting by this album. The reception, though, did get 4 stars off of AllMusic and four out of five.
Okay.
Sorry, four out of 100.
You just never know.
You're right. That's a great point. What's that called? The barometer scale? Or
oh, no. Barometer. Yeah, baseline barometer. Yeah.
So 4 out of 5 stars by AllMusic, and then it was given 4 out of 4 stars, which seems like a weird rating system, by the Penguin Guide to Jazz Recordings. So these sources are pulled right from Wikipedia.
Straight from the source.
Actually, I'm curious. What is the Penguin Guide to Jazz Recordings? It's a reference work containing an encyclopedic directory of jazz recordings on CD, which were, at the time of publication, currently available in Europe or the United States. Okay. Compiled by Richard Cook and Brian Morton. Total legends.
Do you ever just, like, wonder why things are phrased the way they are?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder why I say things sometimes.
The other day I read in its entirety the Declaration of Independence for an irrelevant conversation. I mean, it was relevant to that. It's just not relevant here. But I was making a point, and I was right, is what matters. Anyways, I read the entirety of it, and damn, did people talk different. Who knew? I was like, it is fine to shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just people were just naturally long-winded. There wasn't that much else to do.
But right? Talk and then die.
Half the people couldn't read, probably more than half, realistically. All you could do was talk. So,
and it was all dudes talking.
Ugh, isn't it always?
Well, not she this said podcast.
Into her microphone.
Don't worry. I'll go ahead and I'll mute you later. So it's just me talking this whole time.
Thank God, that's what the people want.
All right. Let's talk about Grey's now that we're 18 minutes in. I intend to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt with my assistant counsel, Kelsey.
Co-counsel?
Hamilton's
Carmen,
our client, Larry Weeks is innocent.
This episode was written by Zoanne Clack and directed by Chandra Wilson.
Wow. A queen.
Uh-huh. And aired March 14th, 2013 to 8.2 million views. So down even a little bit more.
How many views?
Last week. 8.2 million.
Ugh.
Okay.
Can I tell you something really quick?
Mm-hmm.
I was really so I'm driving in Chicago, and I see all these Hulu ads, these Hulu billboards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I nearly gave myself a spoilie.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It is not safe for you out there.
No, no.
And now we're like getting to Grey's is about to like come back for its new season. So they're really pushing it. You know what I mean? And then I was on Netflix earlier to watch it. And I like moved over to like select Grey's. And I just let it hover there while I got all my shit together. And it started playing a clip from like season 21.
No. No thanks.
So look out.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
That is
not good.
We're
on edge over here. Okay. So the Netflix synopsis, that's what I was doing. The Netflix synopsis is discord and chaos created by new management causes one doctor to question his future at Seattle Grace. I would say that's pretty accurate, honestly. They didn't need to write it so cliffhangery when before they've been like, Derek, get shot. But this one, don't want to spoil it. So, yeah. Anyways, I think it's a pretty accurate description. There's definitely chaos and not a lot of clarity in the beginning part.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in... I was in kind of like a fever dream while watching this episode,
mm-hmm.
doing the videotaping.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point I was like convinced that Jackson was going to step down and name Bailey to give Bailey his seat on the chair
yeah, on the board.
Of the board, because she's the only one who seems to have read any procedures.
Yeah, that was, I did at some point take the note. Why does she know every single procedure?
I also am I missing something, Kelsey?
Or protocol.
Why? Yeah, the protocol. Thank you. Why are we referencing Pegasus protocols? Pegasus isn't buying the hospital.
Right. So I think legally those protocols had already been signed in as hospital protocols. So they probably have to be quote unquote unsigned. And I put that in quotes because I don't know the legal term for unsigned. Like they just have, it has to be like rewritten as whatever your current law is going to be.
Okay.
That would be my assumption.
Got it. Okay.
Is like if all of the back end admin people are on these protocols, someone has to go in and tell them not to be. Like, obviously, some like I feel admin person would be the one who had set up the kidney situation. And that person, it's not that they were doing their job wrong. They were doing what they had been told they would be doing now.
Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. If they wanted to have a smooth transition, they would have started implementing the protocols before the sale mm-hmm. went through. Okay, so I guess that makes sense. I didn't think of it that way.
That was kind of how I took it. It's like they were already basically planning on, you know, owning the hospital. So they were like, this is how it's going to be. So go ahead and like start the transition process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I guess should we talk about the hospital sale is kind of the big one. Should we start with that first? The stuff around it, the drama, the...
Yeah, so this is the first, like, day, I guess, with the management, like, the buying going through and there being them there as the leadership for the hospital. Them being Derek, Meredith, Callie, Arizona, Christina, and then Jackson representing the Harper Avery Foundation. But also sometimes Catherine, confusion.
I think we're meant to believe that Catherine is the Harper Avery Foundation.
I think she's representing the Harper Avery Foundation in the legal sense with the buy, but not in the legal sense with the board and management representation.
Got it.
That was, I guess, my read on it. There were a lot of one-liners in this episode that made me giggle, but the overall vibe of this episode is not a good time. It's mm-hmm. stressful the whole time. It's worrisome. It's like very hectic, very mismanaged, which is the point. That's how it's supposed to feel. It's likely that anyone who has had jobs in the past has gone through some kind of ownership transition or management transition and felt the chaos of the new person not really knowing what they're meant to do. And also maybe some of us have been the new person who knows they are in charge but doesn't super know what to do. But then it's like, who do you ask? I don't want to look stupid. I got this job, all this stuff. So, you know, just some questions, things, some experiences that people have had.
Yeah. And it's also, I think there's this intensity that Weber really brings to one of those scenes. I know we're jumping ahead quite a bit, but when he is talking to Catherine and they get in kind of this fight at one point, Jackson sees it and Catherine's basically saying, no, he will learn one thing at a time. Like becoming mm-hmm. chief, becoming a leader is a series of choices and learning. And Weber is like, yeah, that makes sense. Not on this scale. If mm-hmm. he fails, this is a career-altering fail. This is not...
Yeah, and it's like, and he didn't choose this. You chose it for him. And he didn't choose it.
Yeah.
Which is a fair point. That's probably, in my opinion, one of the best points. Like, Jackson is at a really good spot career-wise. He loves what he is doing. He had an incredible mentor who he lost, but he's like kind of navigating that. And so for her to thrust this on him, I do think it speaks to her, honestly, more as like a controlling parent than anything else. And very like high driven, motivated. And then like the concept of, well, I am part of this huge empire dynasty and it's very successful and you have to also be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We also, man, we finally get a little bit of answer on, well, I get some answer on where Jackson's dad has been.
God knows where.
Yeah.
Is where he's been.
So, anyways, the whole episode starts. So they're in the boardroom, right? And they're sitting there talking. Jackson walks in with some donuts.
Yeah. He comes in late, like, but he has pastries.
Yeah. Bearing gifts. Okay.
Now, this is a classic Carmen move, you guys. Carmen will show up late somewhere, but bring pastries in lieu of an apology and be like, sorry, I was late. I had to get these donuts for you guys.
That doesn't sound like in lieu of an apology.
It sounds like an accessory within the apology. I had to get these donuts for you.
I don't think that that's the implication. I think the implication is I was going to be late no matter what. This is just helping give me an excuse.
This is softening the blow.
Yeah. So I love it. I think I'm offended on Jackson's behalf that no one went
that
and
no
started
one
to take
takes
the donuts.
Pastry.
Yeah,
I'm offended on the pastry's behalf because yeah. Why would you not eat a pastry?
And so they're sitting there and they're talking about how Jackson has deciding vote and veto powers, mm-hmm. and Christina and Callie are like being super mean about
they really are
that him being in plastics. Like, how dare a plastics fellow? Who the fuck is he?
Well, Christina's like, he's a fellow. And Mara's like, you're a fellow. And she's like, yeah, but I'm me.
Right.
And I will say, like, I think Derek and Meredith are kind of trying to keep the peace and keep everyone placated. Because they're like, you don't even know, like, what he's going to do. You're kind of, like, deciding before he even walks in that it's going to be a problem. Why don't you, like, let it play out and see what actually happens before you get up in arms about it?
And it does start to play out, and it does kind of go south very quickly.
They are kind of correct.
The board has decided. You mean your mom.
Yeah. The foundation. Your mother.
Your mom
the foundation.
Goes to college.
Your mother. I was like, if someone in this episode says your mom one more time, I swear to God. It's giving middle school insult.
Yeah, that is funny. So... that's all happening. Catherine and Weber are talking, and when she says, I made an investment and I put a young, energetic person in charge. I take orders from my boyfriend in one room, and this is not it. That is sexual.
It is. I have to agree with you. That's
big
a sexual
fan.
Statement.
Big fan of, yeah, that's very sexual. Good for you, Catherine. It's times like that that I'm like, ah, man, I like her. And then she'll do some, like, I don't know. Actually, this is a good episode for Catherine, I think.
Yeah,
I
will say she does, it feels to me like she has a certain level of self-awareness that I appreciate. And it there definitely, I feel like, has to be a line that you walk as a female in this like really high powered position. And then if you also think like back to like the flashback of Richard and Ellis going through, and like Ellis was the only female in her class when they went through, I would imagine Catherine would have a similar like career arc. But on top of that, she's also a person of color and a female. And then she, you know, there's, we don't know like the history of like the Avery Foundation and like when it became what it currently is and what that has looked like and how it's affected her career. But obviously it's affected her relationship because Jackson's dad just fucking deuced out. But I would imagine
you can't stand the heat in the kitchen.
I all that to say is I do imagine for her being like a high powered female, the default is to be like defensive, because it's like, I fucking know what I'm doing and I'm good at my job and I've been good at it. And if you have a problem with that, you're wrong, because I know what I'm doing. And especially like with Richard, and then getting it all tangled up when like the relationship aspect of it, and then also intertwining with like the parenting aspect of it, I definitely see how like her default kicked in and she went that. But then literally, I mean, she says, she's like, have you ever said something and then 1 minute later been like, that was stupid?
Yeah, I actually really like that scene.
I did like that scene, and I felt like all of the scenes with her and Richard, I felt were a good representation of just kind of like the back and forth, and it just felt genuine to that type of situation. Because Richard is coming at it, like, at no point is Richard saying like, oh, you have to pull him out because it's bad for the hospital. Like, he's saying this is going to impact him at a level that you don't seem to grasp if he fails. And to her credit,
it's a protective posture.
Yeah,
for sure.
And to her credit as a mom, she's like, he won't fail. Like, but that's to the detriment on like the business side. I'm like, there's always a possibility that the person you employ is going to fail. Like, yeah, they can be super qualified, a super energetic leader, you know, have experience, whatever, and then come in and like still fuck it up.
Right.
People do it all the time.
It's true. Like, look at, never mind. I feel like you all know what I was going to say.
We're all right there with you.
Speaking of, let's take a break for capitalism. Hooray. We'll be right back. And we are back. I love that so many of us are like, okay, yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So I want to backtrack a little bit, because I do want, when we get to that point, for if you have the receipts for that conversation pulled up, because I really do like it. It's worth going back to the beginning when, so Meredith and Christina, they're like, basically they're saying we're tabling the conversation. They all start to storm out, and Jackson or Meredith says something to the effect of, we don't want the money if it meant all of this policy change. And when Jackson says, without the Harper Avery Foundation, none of us are here, and no one asked you to sue the hospital into bankruptcy either. And then Meredith is like, for the plane crash that killed Lexi?
Yeah, it's damn, pretty. Yeah.
That's bad, Jackson.
Now, I will say, yeah, and I think that, like, in comparison to the snarky remarks that Miranda had been making the past, like, episodes previously to this, I don't feel like it's the same, because I do feel like she was saying it specifically, like, with the full, like, recognition of what she was saying. I don't think he really put that together. And so when she says it, he does, like, immediately look remorseful and like, okay, yeah, that was not the move. Also, he did sleep with Lexi. Like, they were a relationship. So that's an added layer on for when Meredith says that.
Yeah.
And also, and, I'm like, you know, Mark. And also Mark, your mentor and friend. Like, yeah, it's fucked up.
And Arizona's leg, like the star of the show.
The one thing that matters of all of those the most.
The plane crash took the most important thing away from us. And Christina's shoe. Wait, no, she found the shoe.
She did find the shoe, but for a moment, who knew, you know?
Whatever. What was the captain's name? Jerry? It also took Jerry's legs, okay?
Yeah. Well, it didn't take them, but it did take the use of them. They're still there. He's paralyzed, though.
Maybe. Have we seen his legs since?
We don't know. Just said he's paralyzed. But Christina did stab him with a pin.
It's true. If you were paralyzed from the waist down, would you just get rid of the legs? Do you feel like that's just extra weight and extra, like, infection that could happen? No, because I feel like
it's probably helpful to the balancing situation.
Balancing of what?
Like, when you still have to, like, lift yourself, like, into bed or into a bath or shower or whatever. And if someone has to, like, lift you, the natural way to be held. Now, this is hard for you because you're a gigantic person. So, like, Jessica could never pick you up this way. But, like,
she would need, like, scoop, doctors, please, you, could you take
you
his
would
legs?
Need a forklift. She would have to use a forklift.
How big do you think I am?
Just lengthwise.
Fat?
Yes.
What is she hiding?
What is she hiding? No, just this is no way because you're talk. Almost two of Jessica.
This is in fact no way to talk to your secret lover, okay? And I
secret lover
will not stand the slander from my affair partner.
It's so good.
Obviously, for legal reasons, we're joking. Okay, anyways.
And for real reasons.
Yeah.
The good news is our partners don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're really supportive.
I bet they don't even go to stores and like randomly get on phones and just hit the 5-star review button and run away. You know, I bet they
Michael does have it. He is a subscriber to our podcast.
That's huge. He just doesn't listen to it.
He also, you know, did most of the business arranging.
Yeah, yeah. Jess has done nothing of importance for this podcast.
She does care for the child when I steal you away to do the podcast, though.
That is true. I also want to call out, so the events that spiral the hospital out of control in this episode are also stemming from this moment, because Jackson tells the team of doctors that they want to remove, that the foundation believes the best move is to remove Owen from the role.
Christina, yeah, new leadership is good for morale.
Yeah. Christina then says, I'm going to go fucking tell Owen and blow this whole thing up. Then they're talking. Owen's big pissed at Jackson. They're yelling. Derek is like, hey, like, you don't want to do this. Like, come on, calm down. Then all of a sudden, Owen starts yelling at Derek. Derek actually stays calm for a second, and then he goes, okay, you want to play this game? No one would be dead, and the hospital wouldn't be in this situation if you didn't put your stupid little fucking signature on that little piece of paper, you dumb prickhead. And then that's when Owen's
really
like, I quit!
How many times Derek has said that he doesn't think it's Owen's fault, and then 2.5 episodes later, will be like, this is your fault, though.
Right, right.
We've done it several times this season. I like the resolution on that. Also, it is funny when Derek goes to Owen, who is jogging, and Derek says, this is costing me gas. And Owen says, well, you can afford it. And yeah. I do think that exchange is funny, even though I don't like the two of them. It's just funny. And I do like to continue that scene where Derek's like, we need you, you know, like the hospital needs you to function. You are a good leader. You are a good chief. And no one blames you. And Owen's like, you blame me. And you have said it more than once. And Derek's like, yes, that's true. I've said it, but it's not true that I feel it, you know, like a lie. So then, Derek's like, realistically, if you had a crystal ball and could see what signing that paper would do, you wouldn't have signed it, which is fair and true point, I think.
For sure.
And Owen's like, Owen had previously said to Christina, there are people who blame me and I cannot be effective in this role while that's the case, which is true because like anytime he is trying to be effective in his role, Derek just is like, right in his face.
Yeah.
With the insults.
Yeah.
And so Derek's like, you know, you got to move past it. And Owen says, well, you're still pissed about it. And Derek's like, well, I'm pissed at the world and I'm pissed at Mark. Like, basically, my read on it is I'm pissed at Mark for dying.
That was my read, too. Yeah.
And Owen says, you got to let that go. And it's, I don't like these men. I do like that scene. I think it's genuine. I think it's vulnerable. And then when they cut to Derek and he has tears in his eyes, I was like, oh no, I'm having emotions.
Yeah, I teared up two times in this episode. Mm-hmm. And that end scene was one of them. It is interesting. And also, I have a little bit of beef with people saying you got to let things go, because that's an oversimplification of the healing journey that you have to get to mm-hmm. let things go.
Yeah.
And that was the only time that put my hackles up a little bit when he was like, you got to let that go. Like, okay, yeah, you do, but you need to work through it and you need to get to a point of healing.
Yeah.
To release that. And my read on that for sure was yeah, Derek is pissed at Mark for just dying, which is no one's fault.
And it's, I feel like that's a normal, like, yeah, processing it through grief situation. I have to imagine it is harder when you're mad at someone who is dead, because you can't, I mean, and people, it is possible to get closure on your own. You don't always have to have the other person there to get closure, but sometimes for some people, it is easier to like talk through things and get the closure you want when you can have a conversation with them. Yeah. Obviously, he can't have that with Mark, and the thing that he's mad at him for is dying. So if he was alive, he wouldn't be mad at him because he wouldn't have the thing to be mad about, because he wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
So.
Let's jump backwards for a few minutes in the episode, because we're kind of bouncing around here, but and I do love that scene, and also
there's some chaos in this episode. We're just echoing the chaos of the episode.
Yeah. So there's a scene after Owen quits where Jackson goes into basically the room where the directors are meeting, or the finance people, the foundation, and he goes in and he calls her Dr. Avery, and she responds with sweetheart, and I think that is diabolical and funny. And when Jackson kind of is like, look, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant, and she's like, look, neither am I, dude, like, ask a couple fucking questions, that's what we pay people for, the big money for. But if you start to nod off when they start talking about debt to equity ratios, that's when you know you have a problem. And Kelsey, let me tell you.
Do you love debt to equity ratios?
I do. And I want to tell you why, because this is a teaching hospital, damn it. I'd love to teach you all about debt to equity ratios today.
Gross.
The debt to equity ratio is a financial metric that measures a company's financial leverage by comparing its total liabilities to its shareholder equity, calculated as total liabilities divided by shareholder equity. The ratio indicates the proportion of financing that comes from debt versus owner funds. A higher debt to equity ratio signifies greater reliance on debt, which can increase risk but also potentially boost returns. So the higher ratio, a higher debt to equity ratio indicates that a company is using more debt to finance its operations than equity. This can be risky as it increases the likelihood of default if the company faces financial challenges. A lower ratio suggests a company is more conservative, relying more on equity to finance its assets. This generally indicates lower risk and can make the company more attractive to investors. This is a teaching hospital.
That was so boring.
Stan has an erection right now.
Everything you said was the worst thing.
Anyways, the next scene is he goes, when we're in there, I'm not sweetheart. And she goes, okay, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's dull.
I'm just glad I can help teach everyone.
I guess it's just lawyers there to read through everything and make sure that everything is, like, fixed the way it needs to be fixed. And, you know, I don't super understand how boards work, like boards of directors for companies. Because to my understanding, it's like a separate thing than the CEO. And the CEO is, like, you know, in with them and has a vote, but, like, they don't get... Like, the CEO can't just, like, flat out be like, we're doing this. Like, right, board... When it's... Obviously, certain things they can, but, like, when it's bigger things, boards, there's votes and all this different stuff. I don't know. I did watch part of Succession. It's confusing to me. I don't... But also, I know a lot of people, like, are on boards for companies they don't work for, and it's, like, a volunteer position. And
you're
but
correct,
it's also, like... It's just like, it's fine. You know what? Maybe one day I'll be a rich lady who's on boards for things.
We are both our
rich
own
ladies.
CEOs. We're both rich ladies. we are our own board of directors. You do realize
it's
that you're
true.
A board of director of No Spoilies LLC.
It's true. So are you. And we have equal ownership, which is probably a problem, but that's how we did it.
Well, if we ever want to pay someone to have a 2% stake, or if we get an investor, they can take... Dear Sharks, my name is Carmen, and her name is Kelsey, and we'd like to pitch you...
We are goofy, goofy guys.
we're offering...
We like being goobers.
2% of our podcast company for $1 million.
Which we will use for our own enjoyment, not the podcast.
We'll make content.
We would have fun with $1 million. We could go to Seattle. I do.
We could buy
long-term goal for us. I do think we should go to Seattle and like film the whole trip.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
That's one of my long-term goals.
Make a vlog. Do people still vlog?
I'm sure they do.
Is that just what reels are? Reels are just 1 minute long vlogs.
I mean, some people, but some reels are long. There's not a time limit. I mean, there is, but it's not 1 minute. It's like
I did watch a 16 minute reel the other day.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Was it the same one? Did we watch the same one?
I don't know.
It was the one on Bernie Sanders going to...
it wasn't that one.
Okay. It was like
but
Arkansas
I do think you'd
something.
Enjoy the one I watched.
Was it on Pokemon cards?
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It was not on Pokemon cards. I apologize.
There's also a scene I think is important to call out. So they have this secret meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Where after Owen gets, or he quits, and Christina's like, dude, Derek, what the hell? Why are you such an asshole? And Derek's like, don't blame me. I blame Derek for this. Derek is completely at fault.
Well, and also they're all of a sudden turning on Christina. They're like, well, why did you tell him? Which I understand their question. I do think she maybe should have run it by them. But I also see her point of view because of like she still feels so guilty about like not being able to tell him why they quit and everything that she was like, I'm not doing this again. I will immediately be telling him. So I understand the logic, but I do disagree with it. But I understand like how she got there. And then she also like just didn't want him to be blindsided if he did get fired. But is it, you know, better to know that you're going to get fired and just be anticipating that? Who's to say?
Well, and then if it really is going to happen like that, take the severance. Don't quit.
Yeah. But, you know, drama. So. And then when they're in the meeting in Arizona's like, maybe, you know, everything we stay in here should be just between us. And she's like, well, then I'm going to leave, which I appreciate. She's like, I will not keep your secrets, but I will leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So podcast burp. That's all pretty intense. And in the midst of all this, I know that this leads into like the cases, which we'll get into next episode. But Hunt is like doing all of the surgery coordinating.
Yeah. And because the transplant coordinator quit, but yeah, they have a million transplants on this day for some reason.
All organ transplants happening, and it's just insane. And they all have to, it's comedic when they all kind of are jumping in doing different, like substitutions for it. And none of them are doing it well.
Yeah.
So let's go back to that scene, a little bit where Weber is like, Catherine, your boy is drowning. And Catherine's like, no, he's fucking not. Stay out of your own, mind your own business.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, give him a minute. And he's like, but no.
Yeah.
You like that scene?
I like that scene. And I think it's the scene that softens Catherine to where later she's getting that imagine the ice single... Yeah. Do you have the receipts for that scene?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, she says, he stepped up, my reluctant son. If I were the kind of woman to say I told you so, this might be the time. And Richard says, he got through the day. And she says, come on, can't you just say that I was right once? And he says, no, not when the stakes are this high. You want him to step up, but the steps are too high and the consequences for his career are too grave and it's not fair to him. And then she said, don't you tell me what's not fair to my son. You want to give professional advice? Fine, but you're wandering into parenting advice and that is not your place. And he says, yes, you're right. I'm sorry I overstepped. And she says, yes, you did. And then she turns to walk away, takes like two steps and comes back and goes, you ever say something and then 1 minute later realize you sound like a complete imbecile? And he said, that's never happened to me.
Which respect.
Was a Carmen moment.
Same. Honestly, I felt very connected to Weber in this moment.
And she said, I have been a single mom for 28 years, ever since Jackson's dad ran off to God knows where because he couldn't stand the pressure of being an Avery. And I've been looking for a man who cared about Jackson the way a parent would. And the moment I find him, I bite his head off. And Richard says, you're always going to know what's best for Jackson. But it's nice that she recognizes, like, this is what I've wanted. And he's not really even telling her, like, we have to pull him out now. He's just saying, like, I don't think this is a good idea, and these are the reasons why. He's not even really telling her what to do. He's just saying, like, these are the reasons I think it's a bad idea. And I think, again, he is presenting them from a standpoint of, like, it's what's best for Jackson. It's not even really about the hospital. Which I think, again, speaks to that he does care about Jackson. And I like that a lot. And I again, like her self-awareness and self-recognition in that moment to be like, wait, you know, if I do want a partner, even though my son is grown, I do still want someone who cares about him the same way I do. And like, I gotta, like, you know, obviously I'm not a single parent, and you do have to have boundaries with that when you're dating as a single parent, I would assume. But you gotta also, I guess, probably figure that out kind of as you're going. You know, like, you don't necessarily know, oh, this is for sure how I'm going to do it. So you kind of got to figure it out as it's happening. And I do think that she recognizes that it comes from such a good place. And that is kind of what shifts her view on her response.
It was also not even a full 2 seconds. It
oh, yeah.
Not a, yeah, not a minute. I don't think anything that Weber said really feels like it's teetering on parenting advice. I think it's professional advice coming from a caring of a father figure, maybe, but I don't think he's giving her parenting advice. I see where she's getting defensive. That makes sense. Obviously, we get the reveal of what's his name? Whatever. Mr. Avery ran away. Interesting that his wife, who married into the family, yeah, stays on in such a main capacity, leads you to believe that maybe that was an only child. But I don't think it was. No, because Jackson's talked about the family dinners and everyone calls him the pretty one. So I assume there's more people in the family. So it is curious. Maybe she's the best of them all. Isn't she a urologist, by the way?
She is, yeah.
Yeah. So all of that's interesting. I love that she came back and was like, yo, I regret what I said. Also, let's put some respect on Richard Weber's name. The man gave a firm I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go into the last scene.
Let me say this first, before we get there, because I think Richard and Catherine's relationship just works so well and makes so much sense. Now, I will say that with the caveat of, was he kind of cheating? Probably, maybe. I don't know. It is muddy waters. So I'm not going to overlook that and say it's nothing, but I do think they're very well matched for each other. They are both successful in their fields. They have respect for each other as people, but also as doctors. And I just think they're really a good fit for each other, and I like it. And I think they communicate pretty well, which is not something we see a lot on this show.
Yeah. Very good relationship communication, at least. At least there's good communication.
Yeah.
All right. So the last scene.
The final board meeting. 600 board meetings in one episode. This is the final board meeting. All right, so everyone's in there. They've signed everything. They're all signing their little documents. And they're like, okay, we're officially the board of directors, for better or for worse. And everyone gets up to leave, and Jackson says, actually, I want to like talk through some other things that I think we should focus on. And Callie starts to be like, oh, you mean the foundation wants to focus? And he says, no, I mean me, not the foundation, or not my mom, and not these protocols. And he like throws the Pegasus notebook in the trash as a statement.
I love it. It's a great statement.
Yeah. And they're all kind of sitting there like still poised and ready to leave. And Derek says, okay, let's just listen. Let's hear him out. So it kind of comes full circle, because at the beginning, again, Meredith and Derek were like, let's hear him out. And now at the end, they're both like, we'll listen to him. So he says, okay, first things first, we're going to reinstate Owen effective immediately. He's on board. We want to take care of it. And Derek's like, with some conditions. And Jackson says, yes, we will be reopening the ER. We will be a level one trauma center again. That will be top priority once Owen is back to share his input. Again, trauma surgeon and chief of surgery, makes perfect sense to like work with him to reopen the ER to make sure it's like effective and efficient. And he says, from now on, the foundation will follow our lead. We will tell them our decisions as we make them. And they're all like, great. On board with that. And Jackson says, I've got one more thing. And Meredith's like, maybe we don't push it. And then Jackson says, I love this so much. We are building a new hospital. And that was your vision, not mine. My priority is to make sure your vision comes true. And while it is important that we become a leading center for research and innovation, we have to remember something. We are now officially a hospital run by doctors. That should mean something. It is our responsibility to be the best doctors we can be so that those who come after us can strive to be their best. So with that in mind, I move to rename the hospital. And they're like, again, we like, why would we do that? And Callie says, oh, the Harper Avery Hospital. And Jackson says, no, I propose that we give this hospital a name that can honor the very reason we've come together and been able to do this, a name that exemplifies the spirit of this hospital, but also the depth of our dedication. And then he turns around the paper that says Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital and says, all in favor. And they all say yes. And I have goosebumps right now. I had goosebumps when I watched it, even though I knew it was coming. Also, thank fucking God. I cannot tell you how many times I have almost said Grace Sloan Memorial on this podcast. Also, all the merch for Grey's Now, like for the past, like, I don't know what season this is, 9, since, you know, a decade or however long it's been, they've been producing merch that says Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital. And I'm like, thank God that we have gotten here.
So the name hasn't changed.
It has not changed. Sorry to spoil it. It is still Grace Sloan. Thank God.
Here's the thing. I don't mind that spoily because I'm like thinking to myself, what writers would fucking, they would lose the fan base if they went ahead and said, let's change it to something different. The Gray Sloan. No, this is amazing. This is awesome. Everyone in the world, tears of joy, tears of happiness, sorrow and remembrance abound. I love this scene. This was awesome. I thought that one of the things he was going to say was, again, I think Bailey taking his spot. Mm-hmm. That obviously is not the case. We also didn't talk about the fact that there was one scene in the hallway where he like jumps in and takes charge. And that I think sets him on the course of,
well, there's like a moment. Yeah. So it's like the clusterfuck of everyone trying to get into the ORs and no one knowing what the fuck's going on. And Callie's like, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. And, but they can't figure out. She's like, this is what we're going to do. But then she doesn't actually have an answer. So he kind of like, it all clicks with him in that moment. And he's like, this is what we're going to do. And he says it all. And it's a good solve. Like, it's the right thing. But everyone just kind of lingers for a moment. But then Miranda's right there. And she's like, you heard him. He's the boss. Move. And so her stepping in and having his back, I think, is a huge moment for him.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, in last episode, they kept saying, you're the heart of the hospital. And I think that is true in so many ways. And so she just carries so much respect. So if she is backing someone, it really means a lot. To other people.
So, so that's what I thought was going to happen in the scene. But let me tell you, I'm okay with that spoilie that you just gave me because I was really hard pressed to think how could they change that name away? But for sure, goosebumps. And that scene definitely was one of the scenes that gave me the tears, seeing Derek start to tear up, a dagger for sure. And, Jackson, you know, it gave me excitement to see what's going to happen.
Great moment for Jackson.
In the future. I think they all obviously are in favor of it. Man, that's so cool. I got to get, now I guess I can actually have a Gray Sloan Memorial shirt. So if anyone wants to get me a Gray Sloan Memorial shirt, I accept
gifts.
Well,
and it's funny because when you had Ryan for Secret Santa like 4 years ago, you sent him a Gray Sloan Memorial shirt. And I was like, that's a spoiler.
Did I really?
But you didn't know. I guess you just was like, oh, Grey's Anatomy, whatever. Because I think, I mean, I don't even think you had met Lexi at that point. Maybe you had met Mark. I don't know. It was very, very long time ago.
I don't think, wait, that was, were we already podcasting?
Yeah.
Really? And yes. I went and I was ballsy enough to get Ryan Grey's Anatomy
merch.
Maybe
your wife did it, but you had him as Secret Santa.
Are you sure this wasn't 5 years ago?
I am sure.
Did you do the research?
I mean, I remember when it happened. I was like, what the fuck?
That's hilarious.
And then, yeah, there was like a moment. There's been a couple of moments, too, where people have like posted pictures on Discord and they've like been wearing it, but then they'll like real quick catch it and move it. And I think even Ryan had sent a picture of himself doing something. It wasn't about the shirt, but in the picture he was wearing that shirt, and he sent it in the group chat, and you just like didn't realize it because it wasn't the point of the picture. It wasn't like, look at my shirt. He just happened to have that shirt on. And I was like, that's a spoiler.
That's really funny. I did not notice.
But there have definitely been moments where I have almost said it to the point where like multiple people after certain episodes messaged me and they were like, we heard you almost say it. And we heard you catch yourself.
Man.
The good thing is if you say Gray, which like, you know, I'm like, if I say Gray to start to say Gray Sloan, it's feasible that you could kind of jumble that up with Seattle Grace.
Yes.
And Meredith Grey and Grey's Net. You know, so I'm like, okay, it's kind of easy to like recover from, but the people who knew that that's what was happening. And I am just so thankful that we have gotten past it. So I will no longer have to watch myself on it.
That is, I'm actually floored. Yeah. This is hilarious.
Yeah. It's funny. Wow. But also, thank God, because again, it's on like all the merch. And after Mark and Lexi died, obviously it would have been less of a spoiler. It would have been still a spoiler, but like if you had found that out like before they died, it's like, well, if it's Gray Sloan Memorial, it's in memoriam. So clearly a Gray, which there are more than one, but Sloan is Sloan. So you would have been like, well, Mark's gonna die.
It could have been his daughter.
Could have been Sloan, but why would they name the hospital after her? But yeah, I'm just glad that we're past the point of concern with that specific spoiler now. Thank God.
I don't often question my intelligence because I'm a very smart person, but I'm also very perceptive. I don't know how. I'm very perceptive. I feel like an idiot right now.
You definitely are perceptive when you think there's something to perceive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
When you're unsuspecting, you're like, why would you be looking for that? You know what I mean?
So when you're unsuspecting, you're so aloof and dumb.
When you're unsuspecting, you're just a moron.
Goodness.
But yes, I'm grateful that I no longer have to worry about that slip up.
Well, I am also very
several times.
grateful for that as well. So anything else on the hospital? I mean, there's obviously some things that happened that interchange with the patients, but anything else around Catherine, Richard, Owen, the board?
I think so. Why would you quit and then go home and jog? It feels like a weird choice.
You burn off steam.
You go home, crack open a cold one, take a nap. That's what you do after you quit a job. That's my professional opinion.
I was going to make an inappropriate joke. I think I'm actually going to
not
use better judgment and not make an inappropriate joke this time.
Proud of you. Well, on that note, we'll wrap this one up and we will talk about everything else in the next episode after everyone's favorite segment.